You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, Enough Evidence. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
The movie industry has made millions by simply making movies out of the lives of famous people. There are, of course, also religious films that depict great men of faith. And one of the most gripping Bible characters is St. Paul. In his youth, the apostle was a zealot for Judaism. Later, however, on a trip to Damascus, St. Paul was dramatically converted to Christianity. And this experience with Christ filled the apostle with a burning conviction to tell everybody about the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the most compelling scenes shows St. Paul telling King Agrippa about Jesus. In order to fully understand why St. Paul was testifying before the king, we need to remember that as a result of St. Paul's preaching, some groups were very, very angry. The preaching of the resurrected Christ stirred them up to hatred and vengeance, and they sought to arrest, to imprison, and even to kill the Apostle Paul. And so, in order to defend himself, the Apostle Paul pleaded his case before the area governor and also the king. But instead of sheepishly reporting that he had been wrongly arrested, St. Paul took the initiative. He grabbed this unique opportunity. He used his audience with the king as a stage for proclaiming and for testifying to the holy life, the bitter death, and the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen now as I read St. Paul's dramatic testimony in his appearance before both Governor Festus and also King Agrippa. The Bible points out that after he was converted, St. Paul explained, both to those of Damascus and also to those in Jerusalem, and then to those throughout all the region of Judea, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance. I kept declaring, he said, and so having obtained help from God, I stand to this day testifying, both to small and great, stating nothing but what the prophets and Moses said was going to take place, that Jesus Christ was to suffer and that by reason of his resurrection from the dead, he should be the first to proclaim light both to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Now the Bible points out that while Paul was saying this in his defense, Governor Festus responded. He said in a loud voice, "Paul, you are out of your mind! Your great learning is driving you mad." But Paul was not dissuaded, and so instead, with great conviction, he responded to the governor and said, "I am not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I utter words of sober truth. For the king knows about these matters, and I speak to him also with confidence, since I am persuaded that none of these things escaped his notice. These things have not been done in a corner." The Apostle Paul made his case neither on reason nor logic. St. Paul was simply setting forth the facts of history. He was setting forth the biblical record and the historical evidence of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament books of the Bible record real history. And when we today read about Jesus in the New Testament, we then see that it is overwhelmingly obvious that Jesus is the perfect fulfillment of all Old Testament messianic prophecy. Jesus was crucified on the cross, just as the prophets foretold, and this happened to pay for the sins of the world. And Jesus was miraculously raised again from the dead, just as the prophets said he would be. Now maybe you today feel somewhat like King Agrippa did. You have heard a lot about Jesus Christ, and you have heard about the miracles that Jesus performed. And yet you are not totally convinced of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you are thinking, "I would like to believe if there was just a little bit more evidence." And I'm sure that you have heard other people say this too. "I would like to believe if there was only a bit more evidence." However, before you stake your eternal future on this type of thinking, consider what was reported in the newspapers not long ago. A riot had taken place in Los Angeles, and during the riot, a truck driver was dragged from his cab and nearly beaten to death. This activity was all recorded on camera by the Los Angeles police. They were hovering over the scene in a helicopter with their camera running. Now, when the trial took place and when the evidence was presented, showing clearly what had happened, then the lawyer for the defense, the attorney speaking on behalf of the accused attackers, he had the audacity to make a most shocking and an unforgettable statement. Following the viewing of the videotape of what actually happened, this lawyer, in his attempt to defend those who had led the attack, said, "Now remember, what you see is not necessarily what happened." Indeed, this may shock us. However, you can also be absolutely sure that this type of muddled thinking would be the same type that would occur if someone today had a videotape of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those who now stubbornly refuse to believe the resurrection, this great miracle of God, they would also continue to deny this historical fact, even in light of firsthand evidence. So then, my friend, let's be honest. The Bible is filled with all types of evidence regarding Jesus Christ. We can read about the coming of Christ, the birth of Christ, and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And each of these events fulfilled perfectly the prophecies in the Old Testament. This is also what St. Paul told Agrippa. St. Paul asked the king, "Do you believe in the prophets? I know that you do." The king, of course, then realized that the apostle Paul was presenting before him much more than religious emotion or fancy ideas. The apostle Paul was presenting before the king the irrefutable facts of history. And so in the same way, we urge you today to also know that when you consider Jesus Christ, you are not merely following some philosophy or some emotional feeling of a religious fanatic. Your eyes are seeing and your ears are hearing about the wonderful works of God. The true God of the Bible deals with us in facts and truth and in evidence. He does not manipulate our minds mercilessly with all types of vain philosophies. And so then, as you consider the truths taught in the Bible, and as you focus upon the life and the death and the resurrection of Christ, instead of saying, "I would believe if only there were more evidence," confess instead, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." And with this simple confession of faith, you will surely receive the wonderful blessings of God. These undeserved blessings will come to you through faith in Christ. These blessings of God are worth far more than anything the world can ever give. For example, no one in this life can give you total forgiveness for all your past sins. Jesus, however, he can. And no one can give you the strength to overcome daily problems. Jesus, however, certainly will. No one can assure you of life after death, but God will do this because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. And so as you look at our text for today, and as you listen to the facts of faith as presented by St. Paul, maybe you are not one of those for whom it is necessary to be persuaded like King Agrippa. Perhaps over the years you have heard about the teachings of Jesus and the miracles of Christ, and maybe you've learned some of this even in Sunday school. But perhaps at this moment you are still searching for a stronger faith. You don't know how to achieve this, and if this is your situation, then listen for just a moment. For many years there appeared in religious bookstores a small book of Bible helps. It was a small, pocket-sized handbook designed to assist people in understanding the Bible. This book, Haley's Bible Handbook, had a remarkable introduction. It was written by the evangelist Dwight L. Moody. Moody said, "The first 3 years after my conversion, I prayed for faith. I thought that someday faith would come down and strike me like lightning. But faith did not come down. It did not seem to come. But then one day," Moody said, "I read in the 10th chapter of Romans, 'Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ.' Then," Moody confessed, "at first I had closed my Bible and prayed for faith, but then I opened my Bible and I began to read and to study the Bible, and my faith has been growing ever since." Indeed, it has been the innocent error of many well-intended people to believe that one can read a few sections of the Bible and then, as a result of this scanty information about God and Jesus Christ, one can then possess a strong faith. But this is not the way that the Bible itself explains it. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." For faith to become strong, it needs to feed on the eternal manna of Jesus Christ every day. Just as your body needs potatoes and rice and fruit and protein and vitamins and minerals, so also you need to feed daily on the Word of God, if your faith in God is going to grow and become strong. When you look at all the evidence supporting Jesus, and when you consider the call of Christ, and when you find yourself, like King Agrippa did, almost persuaded, then consider also the love of God and the grace of God. You see, in spite of your errors and shortcomings and sin, and in spite of all of your failures, God still loves you. The Apostle Paul writes, "Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and his forbearance and his patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?" As you come to Christ, and as the Spirit of God convinces you of the facts of history which support Jesus, then the Bible says the Spirit of God will also lead you to a conviction of your sin. Oh, my dear friend, turn away from your sin of indifference and doubt and focus your eyes of faith solidly and clearly upon the crucified and resurrected Christ. Jesus was nailed to the cross to pay for your sin. He was raised again so that you can now stand before God justified. For God, the Bible says, has delivered us from the domain of darkness. He has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sin. Again, the Bible says, by his doing, you are in Christ, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. The promises that Jesus Christ gives his followers are never conditional. The hope Christ offers to his faithful is never superficial. This divine hope is built for eternity upon the solid rock of our gracious God. You see, when St. Paul testified before King Agrippa, and when he told the king about Jesus, when the apostle made a convincing case based upon history, all focused on the fact that Jesus was indeed the promised Messiah, then King Agrippa knew that he was cornered. "In a short time," he said to St. Paul, "in a short time you will persuade me to become a Christian." St. Paul then immediately responded, "I would to God that whether in a short or a long time, not only you, but also all who hear me this day, might become such as I am, except for these chains." Today, my friend, you too have heard the echo of the voice of St. Paul, and through this mighty servant, God is calling you. Don't delay. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust totally in his saving power. This is the Jesus who died for your sins. This is the Jesus who rose again on the third day. These facts of history are all true. The Bible is filled with irrefutable evidence. These things have been written so that you, my friend, so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing in this, you might have life in his name. Oh, may God in his mercy through Christ grant his salvation unto you and your house today. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.